Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Guys, I just finished a must-hear interview with Jason Burmis, and afterward, while editing it, I had a bit of an epiphany. We are all Palestinians now. We're all in Gaza now. What you just saw was a clip from the sci-fi short Slaughterbots. Compare and contrast that sci-fi short to what's really going on in Gaza right now as drone strikes are killing people indiscriminately in a genocide without end. And friends, take a look at this clip. This is in the UK, where recently English tenants were evicted from this house in Derby so that migrants could be homed there instead. Is this not the exact same thing that Israel has been doing to families in Palestine and Gaza for 70 years, but you said nothing, and now it's happening in your country? Friends, we're all Palestinians trapped in Gaza now. Before we start this important interview, just a quick word about our sponsor. Friends, we've told you the truth about the destruction and the demise of the US dollar and its purchasing power on this channel for more than a decade. So how do you feel about leaving your money in the bank? Not great, right? It's losing value every single day because it's being debased. So if it's stressing you out, why not invest smarter with Noble Gold Investments? Precious metals are simple and real, tangible wealth. And by the way, gold just broke a new all-time high in USD. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Gold was. It's a reliable, dependable, and authentic way to protect your wealth. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They always have your back. Noble Gold Investments is the same. Their American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. Now, there's no guarantee of any kind with any investment, so do your own due diligence, but you'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you from Noble Gold. So no hassle, no call centers. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin with every qualifying IRA investment. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGTReport.com. Guys, we're going to cover the news of the day that the mainstream horror media sees fit to omit with my good friend, film producer, Jason Burmis. He's also a radio host, Making Sense of the Madness. You can find it over at patriot.tv. And his new evening show, The Jason Burmis Show on TNT Radio. He's the producer of Fabled Enemies. And of course, a film that woke me up, Loose Change. Jason, how are you?
Very good, man. I'm very good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm good. It's good to see you. And before I hit record, we did a little pre-talk discussion about people we admire in the space. We both like comedians. I mentioned John Mulaney and Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore is just hitting the cover off the ball. And then you said, you know, Kurt Metzger. What a small world, man. I admire anybody who's willing to tell the truth at this point. It could be Lord Rothschild from the dead himself. Just tell us the truth, you stinking Zionist globalist scumbag. What do you make of anything I just said there before we start?
You know, let's talk comedy for a minute, because it's kind of been a part of my life since I was a kid. HBO was over at my dad's, who I spent weekends with, and I still remember Comic Relief from back then. I was introduced to Saturday Night Live at a very early age. And believe it or not, the first book that I ever read on my own for fun was Private Parts, the Howard Stern biography, much before even the movie came out. And really what got my attention there was that he had taken talk radio, and it was kind of a comedic format, and brought it into television. It was on the E! Entertainment Network. As the years went by, I continued to love comedy. George Carlin became a favorite of mine. I actually got to see George live on his last tour before he died. He got one more HBO special out. And true story, when I was at InfoWars back, and I think it was all the way back in 2008, maybe 2009, probably 2009, I got to go to my very first UFC via Joe Rogan, and got to spend time with him, Ari Shaffir, another comedian, Eddie Bravo, who also does comedy with Sam Tripoli. So I've always said it like this, man, you got to be your own hero, live your own adventure. And if you gravitate towards those type of things, good things will happen. And by the way, whether you agree with somebody's politics or not, the ability to laugh at the world and find joy in it is an essential one, my friend.
Yeah, it's actually therapy, and like working out, laughing releases dopamines. It releases all the good stuff your brain needs to feel healthy because we're all getting hit every single day. A multifaceted attack against humanity, air, water, television. I mean, all they do is gaslight the American people. And what I want to talk to you about today, and by the way, I should say one thing, that Howard Stern movie in which he starred himself, Private Parts, is really well done. I'm not a big Howard Stern fan at all, and the man's hopelessly demon rat involved. I mean, he just worships at the ground of masking and locking down and Democrats. But just an aside, maybe Jason has a comment on that. But what I wanted
Yeah,
to do,
I'll tell you what,
go
Stern
ahead.
turned what he hated, brother. He literally used to make fun of a guy named Don Imus, who I think it was MSNBC back in the day. They tried, once Stern got really popular, a lot of people tried to go that route. And now you were inside the studio, right? Rush Limbaugh put it out there as well. No one did it better than Alex Jones, who created his own thing, but that was much later. When we're talking about the early 2000s, you kind of had to be on television. And Don Imus was never my thing, right? And he actually makes fun of Don Imus, who was a big radio guy in that film, Private Parts, and in the book, Private Parts. And unfortunately, man, sometimes it is true. You either die the hero or you live long enough to become the villain. And it sucks, but 110%, unfortunately, Howard has become the villain at this point.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're in agreement on that because when I first moved up to Minneapolis in 1996, about 4 or 5 months after that, or right around that time, he got his show syndicated in Minneapolis. And you know, it's always his goal to dethrone the top guy in the market. And he was actually unable to. Tom Bernard was the top guy in the market at that point, and Howard was not able to unseat Tom Bernard, despite going after him daily hard in the paint. And I thought that was amusing because Tom Bernard is as boring as watching paint dry on a wall, I got to tell you. But anyway, Howard was not able to take over in Minneapolis. And then he pulled his show. All right, enough with that aside. I want to start here. Let's get a little bit serious here because according to Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, my heart is troubled, and I share that passage because the escalation continues with a major strike by Israel on the Iranian embassy in Syria, killing 8 people. And as you and I discussed on the pre-call, I'm a big fan of Jimmy Dore. So I'm going to show this clip that Jimmy retweeted. And it's very important that people understand these are real human beings being butchered in Gaza. Israel's blatant targeting of defenseless civilians is right up there with the greatest crimes in the history of mankind. That is the tweet that Jimmy Dore retweeted. And, you know, I hate to show this footage, guys. It breaks my heart. But this is what's going on in our world as the escalation continues. And I'm sure Jason has very lucid points to make about this.
So I've been talking about these videos now for the past couple of weeks since they surfaced, and the utter silence within the mainstream media about them. And then you couple that with the video with Wolf Blitzer, which I'm not sure if you're aware of, but Wolf Blitzer, who again, never been a fan of him, actually got to ask him a question all the way back in 2007 when he was the monitor for one of the 2008 debates. And he had an IDF gentleman on there. And actually, Rogan played this on his show to his credit with Jimmy Dore's co-host, Kurt Metzger, recently. He showed the footage of that on his show, which is great because honestly, that's the largest Western outlet that has shown that footage and needs to show that footage and needs to talk about that footage. But then Blitzer, who normally is very, very staunch for the establishment narrative and the war machine. They had gone to a refugee camp that had been blown into the ground. All you saw was a crevice. And the IDF officer was very adamant that it was a military strike and that they were trying to kill one member of Hamas. And Wolf several times simply couldn't believe that this was an admission and said, "But you knew that women and children were there. And this is just a different war, Wolf, and you don't understand." No, this is why. Number one, we have to speak up for everybody. You might not like their religion. You might not like that region of the world for whatever reason. but this is death from robots above. And these drones appear. Now, again, I can't comment whether they are or not, appear to be used by human beings. But we already have AI-driven drones that are finding, acquiring, and killing targets. All right? This has to stop on a global level. You and I are just as susceptible to something like that unless we speak up. And I'll even throw it to on the Israeli people as well. A lot of people have to understand that the Israeli people had some of the most stringent restrictions via vaccine passports and certificates during the COVID-1984 nightmare. So the right crisis, and that population is going to be enslaved in another way, right? And really, it's upsetting to me that no one in the mainstream, or even the alternative mainstream, even like a Bill Maher, you know, who's supposed to be on the left and anti-war, is talking about this, because it needs to be discussed, because these people are unarmed. They don't seem to be threatening anybody. And I'm sorry, we can't just paint this picture of everybody being Hamas. That said, the United States still has to look in the mirror for everything we've done over the last 2+ decades to facilitate things like this, by saying any male who's 16 years of age or older in the Middle East is a enemy combatant and can be engaged against. We are far from innocent in this. And right now, for political reasons, this administration is trying to distance itself from what's going on, because it is so blatant and over the top. And even the, you know, Gen Z and millennial generation can clearly see that there's something wrong with what's going on here. And then they're painted as what? Hamas supporters, domestic terrorists. I'm sick of hearing that on both sides. Like, again, if you were part of Antifa and you ripped down a statue, an Albert Pike statue, for instance, who I don't really like anyway, yeah, charge them with destruction of property. Charge them with the crimes they committed. They're not a terrorist. Just like people that happen to be protesting what is going on in the Middle East are not terrorists. It's a bad look all around. It sets terrible precedents. And especially in a political environment where we're actually criminally prosecuting people deemed as domestic terrorists, my friend.
See, guys, I told you you'd hear lucent commentary from Jason, because I couldn't agree more across the board, because we're all human beings made in God's image. And if you don't understand what the Pentagon and the DOD and the deep state and Israel and the Mossad are up to, guys, they're all working together. And we, the people, are financing this genocide. Those are American made missiles. And it's just so horrific. And for those who don't believe that this chicken could come home to roost, I bet Jason remembers seeing this little clip, Slaughterbots. Now, this is science fiction, except it's not.
Customer pilots directed almost 3,000 precision strikes last year. We're super proud of it. It allows you to separate the bad guys from the good. It's a big deal. But we have something much bigger. Your kids probably have one of these, right? Not quite. Hell of a pilot? No. That skill is all AI. It's flying itself. Its processor can react 100 times faster than a human. The stochastic motion is an anti-sniper feature. Just like any mobile device these days, it has cameras and sensors, and just like your phones and social media apps, it does facial recognition. Inside here is 3 grams of shaped explosive. This is how it works. Did you see that? That little bang is enough to penetrate the skull and destroy the contents. They used to say guns don't kill people, people do. Well, people don't. They get emotional, disobey orders, aim high. Let's watch the weapons make the decisions. Now, trust me, these were all bad guys. Now, that is an airstrike of surgical precision. It's one of a range of products. Trained as a team, they can penetrate buildings, cars, trains, evade people, bullets, pretty much any countermeasure. They cannot be stopped. Now, I said this was big. Why? Because we are thinking big. Watch. A $25 million order now buys this. Enough to kill half a city. The bad half.
All right. It's deeply disturbing. It's one of the better sci-fi trailers I've ever seen. And Jason, the thing is that technology does exist. And if these people keep stealing elections to usher in their weather underground communist style of dictatorship, we'll all be considered terrorists. We'll all be considered the resistance. And what's to stop these criminals from unleashing slaughter bots on the population? I know that sounds like a bridge too far, but this is why we have to stand up for humanity today.
Not a bridge too far. I'm going to show you something. If we're zoomed out on me here really quickly, we'll just go to this. And this is a slide that I use in some of my presentations on the Reawaken America tour. And actually, if we wanted to, I also have the clip readily available. So what you're looking at is a World Economic Forum presentation. And the woman there, yes, absolutely works for the military industrial complex and the Defense Department. And she is talking about collective swarm intelligence that works through brain-computer interfaces that are non-invasive, in other words, the headsets that you're seeing there, and through deep brain stimulation. If you want, Sean, I can play the clip that is, the intro is a small clip of the introduction of this talk and this segment, When Humans Become Cyborgs. Should we play that?
Yeah, by all means. Thank you. Please.
All right. Let's do that. Give me one second right here.
It's funny how in sync we are, because you and I hadn't talked about slaughter bots before we went on the air, right? But we all know what's up. You and I know what's up. So does the audience.
None. You know, actually, you know, I presented this clip when I hosted the fourth hour Alex Jones last week. But let's just clip it up. Here we go.
We're going to start the When Humans Become Cyborg session. You know, I always want to be a cyborg. I'm waiting for the day to become one.
I won't be able to say much about this today, but this is a project that I'm really excited about. It's a partnership that we're developing with Airbus to think about collective swarm intelligence. And this is about flying brains. So trying to bioengineer the brain capabilities, for example, of insects. You know, why don't they smack into each other when they fly? How do they know which direction to take? And the interesting ethical, so I'm an ethicist, I should say, and long ago trained in neuroscience, but one of the interesting things about this technology is that it's an emergent intelligence. So it arguably is a fully autonomous intelligent system. So if you think about this technology one day being a million tiny insect-type drones that we release for surveillance, you know, whether it's military surveillance or crop surveillance, what have you.
Oh, military surveillance or crop surveillance and the weaponization. And again, we already have much smaller swarms that are not autonomous. That's like an hour-long presentation that, again, are being directed by human brainwaves.
Isn't that incredible? And, you know, the scary term there is collective intelligence, because once the AI breaks away and it's got collective intelligence that far outweighs that of its programmers, what's to stop it from turning against we the people, especially if it's programmed to do just that, and then the establishment has plausible deniability? They'll just say we've lost control of AI, as AI does exactly the bidding of the masters.
I can't argue with you. And look, you know, I've often been a real critic of Elon Musk, aka the Muskernuts. But that is because there is this illusion that Twitter is somehow a free speech platform, or X right now. It is not. It is the best kid in a very bad neighborhood. But one of the things that I've often discussed is how Elon Musk has already been part of the spy network system, the Blackjack program. Now, Starlink itself already was highly utilized in the Ukraine war, Okay. I mean, this is their communication system, but a lot of people have not picked up on this story in the past couple of weeks, which now he's not just launching the spy satellites with his Starlink that's being utilized by the military industrial complex. He's building it. So again, he's such a bad boy and they don't like him so much that Musk's SpaceX is building spy satellite network for U.S. intelligence agency. Now, what I need people to understand is that network is already largely there. It is Starlink. The Defense Department absolutely 100% has a backdoor into that. So when you heard, for instance, that Elon Musk didn't give access to the Defense Department so that they could run an operation via Ukraine and Russia, that's imagination land. This guy is a Defense Department contractor. And I don't want too many people to put too many eggs in the basket of X, especially on the run-up to this 2024 election. Sean, you know that I don't like making predictions other than glum ones when people have a tad bit too much of hopium and think that there are going to be prosecutions and people put in jail. I think we're in for a rough skid. I'm not convinced we're having a free and fair election in November. And whether you love Donald Trump or hate Donald Trump, that's a moot point. But the point is that we've now had an installed puppet who can barely speak in our face for the last almost 4 years. The policies have been tremendously awful on the surface level. When you dig deeper, they're even worse. You talk about humiliation rituals. They're continuous. Transvisibility Day on Easter. I mean, I'm not even a Christian, and I know what that is. That's a kick to the groin followed by a throat punch to try to get you to react, and it's to spit on the face of really any traditional organized religion that believes in a God and a nuclear family, etc. So when we're on this run-up to November, I really, truly, 100,000% believe anything is on the table at this point. What's going on in the Middle East is extremely scary. It's even scarier that you have mainstream media, and not that they shouldn't report on it, but reporting on this red heifer scenario. So, you know, getting into that and global politics, what I need people to understand again is whether you believe in a certain religious philosophy or not, there are people that do. They believe in prophecy, and they also believe it's their duty to bring about prophecy. So when you look at the situation in Israel and Palestine, if you biblically go with what the most hardcore people believe, Israel and even Palestine, just the beginning, they take a lot more. And if you don't think that's going to be driven by force, I don't know what to tell you. And so even if you're not religious and you're somehow a part of one of the power structures that is trying to consolidate and continue power, you're going to play into that, especially when it's to the tune of literally trillions of dollars on the table through this vast military industrial complex that supersedes the United States, and it even supersedes Israel and NATO. I mean, we've got a global scale, Russia, China, you name it. Money and power is what makes the world go around and what makes people compromise and do bad things. So, Sean, I'm going to tell you right now, I have no idea where we're going in the next 7 months, except for people better have a plan for after. And I hope we have a free and fair election. And I hope the lesser of two evils, really, I want to believe in Donald. I want to believe that at some core, he's going to do the right thing. But we've seen him sway to the wrong thing. I'm not forgiving him for Operation Warp Speed. I'm not forgiving him for Assange. I'm not forgiving him for continuing to talk about Syria as though they gassed their own people. I'm not forgiving him for his policy prior to this with Israel, where he just gave up the Golan Heights region, where he had Mike Pompeo and Bill Barr in his administration. But compared to what else is going on, I can see the absolute establishment doesn't want that either. So the question is it going to take something crazy happening in this country or perhaps Europe that could change everything? I think so, but we'll see.
Mm.
There's a lot to comment on there, and we can circle back to Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and talk about the follow the bloodlines aspects to at least two of those men, the third of which has a CIA contract for cloud computing to the tune of some $600 million, probably a lot more now, and that's Bezos at Amazon. We're told these are some of the world's richest men. Isn't that funny how they prop these men up, this single generational wealth, somebody who started a online store called Amazon, somebody who now is in bed with the government, with SpaceX. I mean, come on, this makes no sense that these are the world's richest men when you have multi-generational banking families that print the currency out of thin air. I think these are just the frontman puppets. And yeah, Elon's the best of the worst, but what's really going on? We can circle back to that. But you mentioned prophecy. I want to play this clip from Black Pigeon Speaks about the red heifer, because there's some really, really scary stuff going on right now as these people try to whipsaw humanity into the apocalypse. Well, the apocalypse is really just the Great Awakening. Maybe I should restate that. As they try to whipsaw humanity into Armageddon.
In fact, there are those that are actively seeking not peace nor stability, but are laying out the foundation for bringing about Judgment Day and the end of the world. The question is, why do adherents of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all believe that the imminent sacrifice of a red cow is so important? And how might this red cow, as they believe, depending on the book, of course, ignite the end times and the arrival or the return of the Messiah?
Okay, we can pause it there. And Jason, if you want me to keep playing it, I'd be glad to. But I just want to ask you about the insanity of animal sacrifice, human sacrifice. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What in the heck is going on here, man?
Look, as you know, I keep it pretty secular, right? I always tell people I'm 44 years old. I grew up a Christian. I don't speak Aramaic. I don't read it. I've never read the Torah all the way through or the Kabbalah. I've certainly never read the Quran, etc. And at the end of the day, a lot of those are just books. But there are large swaths of people that not only believe in each, but are hardcore on that belief system. And as I was kind of tongue in cheek saying before the program, the crazier the outfits get, the less that I think they have credibility, but the more power they also seem to have. Am I not wrong? I mean, you look at the Pope's nutty outfit, you look at, for instance, the cult of Saturn, Saturnalia within Judaism. But at the end of the day, there is this overlap, right, with the end times. And as I understand it, especially when you talk about the Jewish and Christian religions, on one end, you have a sect of people that absolutely believe that they are going to retake the Temple Mount. They are going to rebuild Solomon's temple, and their savior, their Christ-like figure, is going to arise. And that's the wrap, ladies and gentlemen. God's chosen people have won, and it's over. That's the way of the world. Everything's awesome afterwards. What gets me is that you have Christians that believe this is true, but believe eventually that person will turn out to be the Antichrist. So they also want to usher in the end times. This is insanity to me. But this goes by, it starts out as the best thing since breakfast, but then it ends up bad, bad, bad for the rest of us. And then there's the return of Jesus Christ, the great war happens somewhere in there. Some people believe in the rapture, some don't. I'll say this, okay? All of it sounds extremely dangerous for humanity, obviously. At the end of the day, however, good and evil absolutely exist. And I believe those that are trying to stop war and misery on a human level everywhere are the real winners here. And I hope that's the case. I don't want to see any of these things come into fruition. But as we were also talking about earlier, it really doesn't matter what I want. You know, you talked about the idea of human sacrifice, right? One of the shows that I did recently over at InfoWars on the Alex Jones Show was the Bohemian Grove. And their whole mantra, their whole motif is sacrificing their consciousness. And I don't mean that type, like they're literal conscious and all the terrible things they've done over the last year on behalf of the club and consolidating power and then having a big party. Now, some have contested actual human sacrifice goes on there, etc. It's almost a moot point. It's a ritual in being a sociopath within a psychopathic group, okay? And as you rightly stated, it's historical. You go back all the way to the Mayans and human sacrifice. And at the end of the day, what is it really about? It's the idea of controlling those beneath you. It is that pyramid structure, right? It should be of no coincidence to people that when we talk about that type of ancient sacrifice into today, those people were at the top of that pyramid, not just metaphorically, but very literally to demonstrate their power.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if you look at one of the Planned Parenthood headquarters, it looks like a Mayan sacrificial pyramid. So the human sacrifice through line is consistent throughout humanity. And, you know, that's actually what kills me. So as we're having this conversation, yesterday was Easter Sunday. And what did this demonic puppet president do? Well, the day before, he said Sunday, Easter Sunday was now a transgender holiday, a transgender day of recognition, not the recognition of the one who came and absolved us of our sins by dying on the cross, being brutally sacrificed. No, not that one. You're supposed to ignore that and embrace transgenderism. So our government is so hopelessly corrupt. I think it brings us nicely to the last topic I wanted to ask you about. And by the way, I got it a little bit wrong. That $600 million cloud computing contract between the CIA and Amazon, that was just through the year 2013. You can see below here, there was a secret $10 billion contract to Amazon. So the through line here is the CIA. And here's what I wanted to ask you, Jason. If Epstein was Mossad, is P. Diddy CIA? What's going on with this? And do you think it will be a limited hangout as the man has ran from the country and gone to a place where he can't be extradited, is my understanding. He's hiding out, but he's definitely guilty of some incredible crimes. And I wonder who else is part of that circle.
So before I even get into Diddy and Epstein, because we could definitely go there in a second, I do want to acknowledge, you know, you mentioned this whole thing of calling Easter a transgender holiday, right? Well, one of the other aspects of this is also an assault on childhood, right? And what the rainbow is. Like, that's the one holiday that rainbow colored eggs and all these colors have always been a thing, and really a thing of fun and joy. And that's been hijacked for the inverse of reality and the idea that you biologically are not yourself and that you need to somehow not only alter yourself through drugs, but irreversible surgery to be this other thing. And the portrayal that that's going to give you pride and happiness, it will give you the complete opposite. Let's get to the Diddy. All right. First of all, I think that Epstein was more than Mossad. I think that even on that last drop, I don't know if we discussed it, but with the drop, there was Lewis Black, who we were talking comedy at the beginning of this, a comedian I enjoy. I've seen him twice. Saw him once in Albany with Dave Attell and Mitch Hedberg when he was still alive. And then I also saw him at Bonnaroo, I think it was in 2008. He talks about going to Epstein's home in Manhattan. And he talks about other comedians that he went there with, including the late Dave Brenner. Also discusses how David Blaine showed up. And David Blaine is known to not only associate with Epstein and be in his books, but also with Bryan Singer. Let's just say similar allegations there when it comes to young people. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Lewis Black was really unapologetic about it. And he said, look, I didn't know the guy. When we got there, he goes, yes, there were beautiful women, some of them younger around, but there was one older lady. He goes, I assume it was Ghislaine, but we kind of just thought that that was his girlfriend or wife. Here's the interesting part. He goes, I only talked to him once, and this is where it gets creepy. He goes, he brought me over to a whiteboard, and he goes, what's this? Okay, and this, I did a video on it. You can go find this afterwards and play the video if you like. He says, I don't know. He goes, these are weapon systems that I was talking to the head of the Israeli defense with, the Israeli defense minister with. And he's like, this is crazy. Now think about that. Why would Epstein be talking about weapon systems with the Israeli defense minister? Well, because he was an arms dealer on top of it. So he's really a conduit. Mossad, CIA, military industrial complex, arms dealer, and then blackmail on top of all of it. And a pedophile, no doubt about it. Diddy. I don't know that Diddy himself is an agent of the Central Intelligence Agency. I would not be surprised if he has been an informant for maybe the FBI and the CIA. On top of all the salacious stuff that's come out about, you know, Diddy's camp with the kids and all these programs and him possibly filming quote unquote freak offs with other men, what a lot of people are missing is the Keefe D arrest in conjunction with the Tupac murder. Now, for those that don't know, it really does seem like the Las Vegas LV Metro Police have known for some time, and probably the FBI, who actually killed Tupac Shakur. And that guy's been dealt with and killed many, many years ago. He actually attacked Tupac in that casino. A lot of people have seen that footage, stole a chain, etc. What people don't know is that Keefe D had bragged in a couple documentaries that he was in the car with the murderer, and that Diddy himself had offered a bounty of which was collected on Tupac. I think it was something like $50,000. Now, that alone could have been why you had the Department of Justice, Homeland Security coming in there, on top of the fact that this guy seemed to also have hidden cameras, et cetera, and maybe blackmailing people as well. So it's a real question where this is going to go. And as far as him being on the run, as far as I know right now, he is back at his Miami estate that has been raided. I do not think he's on the run any longer. But again, I'm going to wait because only more information is going to come out in the next couple of weeks. But I don't think any of it is going to be in favor of this guy.
Well, let me ask you one last question then about those circles and people that ran in those circles and are probably petrified now from knowing that they've gone to those parties, those freak out parties, and done some really bad stuff, all of which is videotaped. And you know who comes to mind? Is people like John Legend and his supermodel wife. The wife has tweeted repeatedly some really borderline pedo-related stuff. And my friend Liz Croken has gone hard in the paint after this woman, Christy. What's her name? Christy?
Teigen.
Teigen, thank you. And you just wonder about people like that. And by the way, it was Christy Teigen at a red carpet event when asked by some journalist, some entertainment news journalist, what's the craziest place you ever did it? The answer from Chrissy Teigen was, oh, remember that time at that Obama thing?
Read it and answer.
Public place you did it. Is this the best or the worst? What did you do?
The best.
Okay, the best. Okay. Probably the Obama thing.
What? John, what's the Obama, God.
What? Oh, God.
John?
What?
What is your wife talking about?
I don't know.
We heard Obama in there.
He should get back in. What happened?
We're not going to discuss that.
We're not going to discuss it?
We're not. We're Why? Not.
Okay. Oh, my God. Secret Service. Come here. Jump back in.
Hi.
Look at John. Look at... I don't...
Hi.
We're not talking about it. That's the truth.
That is an awesome answer.
Not the White House.
It was not at the White House.
100% not at the White House.
He was not elected yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're moving on.
I'm sorry.
So you wonder what kind of crazy stuff has gone on at these parties, not just the Obama parties, but the Diddy parties and all that, the hip hoppers that are probably terrified that the CIA or the FBI or both now have the goods on these people.
What I can say to you, Sean, about the hip hoppington is thankfully I've never been a Diddy fan. A lot of people kind of took craps. Oh, you just don't like him. Or I was never a Jay-Z guy. I gravitated more to Wu-Tang because one thing is for certain, my friend, presidents come and go. Wu-Tang is forever. It is also for the children. NWA, Dre, Snoop, not the most perfect people by any means. Some of them definitely in that criminal arena. Earlier, we talked about Tupac Shakur. Obviously, Suge Knight is in prison where he belongs. I mean, he's on tape, literally murdering a guy, running him over. But there's always something wrong with Diddy, and there's something wrong with that industry. He's far from the only person out there. And I'll leave it with one thing. When we talk about freak-offs and this type of behavior, Tupac Shakur is on film talking about when he was dating Quincy Jones's daughter, that Quincy Jones approached him and tried to have sex with him. And a lot of people acted like that wasn't a thing. Well, Quincy Jones later came out and said that he did have sex with men, and that probably did happen. So this dynamic of powerful people within the music industry, it may not be as much of a sexual thing, as much of a power thing, which can be sexual, that's in this thing. But the darkness is real when you get into Hollyweird and the entertainment industry in general.
Yeah, it sure is. And, a better example than Chrissy and John Legend might have been Beyonce and Jay-Z. Because Jay-Z, just look at his clothing line. The guy's definitely Illuminati. He's a made man. And Beyonce, you know, when she's on stage, she says that superhuman alternative personality Sasha Fierce takes over. Literally, she's consumed by some entity that allows her to perform on stage the way she does, according to her, Sasha Fierce. All right, at any rate, brother, can you tell us about your new evening show and what time of day people can catch your content live?
Yeah, man, and there's all sorts of Bermas going on. There's almost a saturation of Bermas. So I've got the Making Sense of the Madness show that is on Patriot.tv. It airs on the Patriot.tv stream, but you go to Rumble and check it out. That's 5 p.m. Eastern every day. They replay it, I think, at about 8 a.m. Eastern as well. So you can catch reruns as well. Then at nighttime at 8 p.m. Eastern, we do a 2-hour live show with TNT Radio, tntradio.live. I just got it. It's the Jason Bermas show. It's all Bermas all the time. 3 guests or so a show. Really great stuff, and I'm really enjoying it.
Good. Good for you, brother. All right. Send me the links you want me to leave below this interview, and I will do that. This thing is going to go live tonight. One last screen share as we say our goodbyes. It all ties in together, guys. We give you the truth here that the mainstream horror media will omit. Experts warn of digital enslavement as Amazon and Jeff Bezos push for a palm scan payment service. The risk is real. Guys, who do you think props these people up? Who do you think owns the mainstream media that tells us these men are the richest men on planet Earth, the richest men in history? The money masters who actually have gobbled up the whole world. That's what's going on here in my estimation. Jason, thank you so much, brother. And until next time, God bless. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in. I'll remind you every single day for free. Check us out for free to get the antidote to corporate propaganda 24/7 at sgtreport.com. May God truly bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
The director of research at CERN, he says, out of this door might come something, or we might send something through it. What? Look at this. This is something we're reading the book of Ezekiel here. It says, summarizing then, it appears as though we might be in for some kind of invasion by spontaneously swelling and shrinking spherical and wheel-shaped creatures able to move in and out of our plane at will. Soon the cities of humanity will lay in smoking ruins, shattered by the attack of teleporting juggernaut tyrants from the nth dimension.